time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, yes, he's on. It's now 11:15, and I'm looking forward to a guest by the name of, Dustin Smith with the Marines. And, he should be probably by phone. We'll find out here. Okay, and I earlier asked some trivia questions. I haven't got the answer yet. The editor of the Berrien Star, way back, his first name was Smith. That's right, that was his first name, not his last name. What was his last name? And then the Good Times boat, I didn't get that answer yet. The captain of the Good Times that's in the water right now, probably over at Kelly's Island at this very moment. I did get Bob Dorf, the former owner of Grohl's store in Waldo, but no one has come up with the name of the store that had a Whizzer motorbike in the front window. That's an odd thing, because the Whizzer had nothing to do with the type of merchandise that was sold in the store. I think it was just an interesting piece of equipment. Okay, and let me see what else. Oh, and the drugstore. Oh, Dustin Smith, I bet.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. Marine, have a seat, Dustin.
Perfect.
Yeah. Good to see you, boy. I've got a grandson in the Marines now. He's in Seattle, Washington on assignment.
So, okay.
Yeah, he can hear a good. Okay. And, well, it's good to have you in now. Dustin, you have one of the roles you have in the Marines would be a drone operator?
Yes, sir.
Where is that, somewhere in Texas or somewhere around?
So we have a couple of different duty stations.
Okay.
You can go over in California. We have some spots. We have some in Arizona. We have some also in North Carolina, some in Hawaii.
Now, operating a drone, you're operating an airship that's in some other country, usually.
So ours are a different scale. So ours are all line of sight kind of deal.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We're usually a said name distance away, just to be able to get visual line of sight.
Okay.
And, we'll operate those from a control station.
Now, does it look like drones will become a bigger part of the military in the future?
I would say it's a progressively growing occupation, a field. There's a lot of time invested, a lot of money invested in what it has to offer.
Yeah.
So the roles and responsibilities are going to ever change. But if we can lose maybe, a piece of gear versus losing one of our American citizens, then
right, yeah.
That's one of the big things.
Yeah. So a drone could probably be armed.
Yes, sir. There are different arming capabilities and on certain platforms.
Yeah.
Some are suited for just the reconnaissance aspect.
Either way, yeah.
Yep. In history, we had people that would have to fly with a camera on it for the reconnaissance piece, world wars that we've had in the past.
Right.
Now we've kind of extended our capabilities of that. operating something from a safer distance, not putting ourselves in enemy airspace and those types of things.
Well, so that is something. And so much is being developed right now. At, who knows, in 5 or 10 years? Wow. Well, Justin, when did you join the Marines?
I joined September of 2008.
Okay.
I joined.
And where have you been in service?
Stateside, I've probably been about 35, 40 different states.
Really?
All, you know, opportunities just with training, going and flying some other place or... and then I went to Afghanistan under my first job. I was an aviation communication system technician.
Oh, really?
So I did a lot with soldering, circuit boards, those types of things. So
That's ironic. I was telling the other recruiters that were here, I have a grandson that's in the Air Force now, and that's the occupation, the occupation or the field that he took up was aviation mechanics. And he does maintenance work now on C-5Ms, and so it's interesting.
Yeah,
these kids have a lot they could get.
Absolutely, that was one of the biggest things. Just on being on the recruiting side of house of the things that you're going to do. You know, one of the challenges is just educating people on that. So that's the thing that I take a lot of pride in being able to be a recruiter. Is you know, hey. You know, you might not just know all the opportunities, and I can tell you that the amount of doors that it's opened at this point is just tremendous.
Imagine. And now I see my when my grandson went through the final, what do they call the final march?
Our culminating event?
Yeah.
So that's the Crucible.
Yeah, the Crucible, yes. Oh, my. And that is something, and how... How many hours does that last?
So you have 54 training hours.
Okay.
So you start very early one morning, go through the duration of the day, and obviously it's about two and a quarter-ish day.
And that is very intensive. I mean, that'll make or break some people, I would think.
Absolutely, sir. So as you're going through Marine Corps boot camp, 13 weeks, I call it a paid vacation. You know, you get three square meals, and you get to sleep probably more than you do here. But... It's all progressively meant to prepare you for that event. A lot of people think that a Marine is sculpted and at birth, kind of like the Spartan, a modern-day Spartan, that they're
grew up in,
But they don't understand the amount of work and effort, you know. As you start in boot camp, you know, you'll put two socks, packs of socks, in your, we call them a grunt roll. It's your a change of undergarments.
Yes.
And you roll your socks over the ends of them, and you put two of those in your backpack, and you're like, well, maybe we're going to get wet, and we're going to have to change. You never touch those things. And then it'll turn into, hey, now you're going to put two canteens that are a liter each of water in your bag, and you're like, we're really going to do something today. But they're just like continuously adding weight to prepare you for the Crucible when your pack gets heavier.
Yeah, well, total weight was up to 50 pounds?
50 to 80 pounds. When you're going through boot camp, you're looking at, on average, 60, 65-pound pack.
Yeah. But it to me, the whole thing is, once a young man or young lady, in this case, my grandson, he was kind of a shy, kind of a timid type person, but yet he was a champion runner in high school. Well, he went through the Crucible and everything to some fine shape, and I tell you, to see him in uniform, it just gives you chills, you know. See that young man who's a real Marine. Yeah, that's something.
It is, sir.
You guys, now what does Semper Fi mean?
Always faithful.
Always? Oh, okay.
Yes.
Now, the old song, I remember singing the song when I was a little kid during World War II, on the halls of Montezuma and the shores of Tripoli. What did that concern? Was that World War One?
Well, you know, obviously the Marines have had their roles and responsibilities in all the wars. Every branch has their piece of that.
Yeah.
So those are just, you know, things that we learn as you go through boot camp. You get stuff, credits for, like, history, and you get stuff for just things that we've done and how it's influenced those wars. So our Marines hymn has pretty much not really wars that we won, but battles that we've won. And that's really why we have a lot of that in there. And it breaks all down into our uniform, too, with you know, sure. Chipotle Peck with our blood stripes, and you know, just every button has a meaning. So
yeah, now you have your share of stripes too. They're indicating how many years?
September 17th this year, I'll be at 12 years.
That 12 I've been years, in. Okay. So you're really making a career out of it.
Hopefully they keep me around, sir.
You know, what would you have, 20-some years?
Yep. You can retire full retirement at 20 years. So okay. 38 years old, retire.
Isn't that something? When you think about it, 38 years, that was like way, you know. it's hard to believe. And with 38, you've got all this experience and you've got the retirement. You could go on to some other type of work.
Absolutely. You could almost pull a double pension by the time you retire. If you retire from your service by being in the military, reserves, or active,
yeah.
A lot of people will go get maybe a, you know, PD job, police department, or go into even the postal service.
Oh, okay.
Pull two retirements by the time they're 55, 60, and just enjoy vacations.
Yeah,
for the
they
rest
go
of
fishing. Well, that's tremendous. Are you going to be out the airport tonight? Tonight?
Yes, sir. We'll be out there, looking sharp in our dress blues.
Yeah, well, looking sharp is right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've only seen my grandson once in his full uniform. I tell you, just it's really so impressive. I mean, means so much. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, now, were we going to talk about ospreys?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what about the Osprey?
So, it's an amazing aircraft that we have. It's a tilt rotor, so it has two propellers, which to a lot of people seems like that's too slow to fly.
Oh.
but it has a capability of taking off like a regular aircraft with a horizontal lift going down a runway, or it has the helicopter capability. So both of those propellers can rotate. They're on either side of the aircraft, and they can rotate to their vertical position to give it a helicopter capability.
Yeah.
Or they can rotate down.
That's interesting. Yeah, helicopters must have that tail propeller.
Yes, sir.
That stabilizes, keeps them from spinning. Okay, now the Osprey though, that's you don't need that.
You don't. So the amount of time and engineering that went into that aircraft, a lot of people said it wouldn't be possible to do, because it's not something that you have to sit the aircraft down. It's kind of like a car. So if you go from two-wheel drive to four-wheel drive, you have to stop and put it in four-wheel.
Yes.
This aircraft is capable of doing that in air mid-flight.
Really?
So it can use the helicopter capability to do an HLZ, a helicopter landing zone, drop somebody off, and then in order – that's a tighter space, harder for another aircraft to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Take off, and then once it gets up to altitude, it can then rotate those rotors down.
Really?
And go full speed.
How high would it have to be and to be able to rotate those,
that's something that's it's constantly something that they can adjust.
Yeah.
So
great.
Critical portions of flight, yeah. They don't want to go making anything too drastic a change. Yeah. But
well, the only other thing that does a similar is the Harrier.
Yes.
And that was invented in some other country, wasn't it?
I'm not sure where it originated. Yeah.
I've seen them operate.
Yes. So in the drone community that I'm in, we have a lot of people that will lat move. It's called a lateral move. Just like I said, I was an avionics communications tech guy. They'll come into our community. So we have attack helicopters, you know, medium and heavy helicopter capabilities. And I've had the pleasure of working with a lot of Harrier. Harrier pilots. So that capability that you're talking to is very specific to the Marine Corps. It's called VSTOL. Vertical standing, something takeoff.
Takeoff, yeah, landing.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So it's awesome. It allows them to, at any point, shift their thrusters down and have that vertical capability.
I saw at the Cleveland Air Show, I saw a Harrier takeoff rise, and those engines tilted then, and 400-some miles an hour. Oh, my land. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, it's remarkable. Yeah. They obviously, they have to burn a lot of fuel to be able to have those capabilities.
I can imagine. The takeoff would be something. And you'd have to do it on a surface that doesn't ignite.
Correct. So the ignition is obviously something that we got to look at to make sure that nothing's flammable and everything's clear. But also the intakes. So the issue that we run into is you have to have a hard surface for that to be able to do that capability.
Yeah.
If you try to do it on grass or gravel, those rocks, and we've had this from a learning experience when we fielded this piece of gear, we thought, hey, we can go to where the infantry guys are, set a bird down, the Harrier, and just take off from there. Well, the inlets were sucking in rocks and destroying those engines.
We're going to break here. We'll be right back after a minute or so on WWGH and
from NBC News, this is Today with Matt Lauer and Meredith Vieira.
Wow, that was a special morning doing the opening for the Today Show in 2011.
Yes, but you know what? There was a downside.
What was that?
Having to share a dressing room with Willard Scott. Smucker jars everywhere.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again with Dustin Smith, United States Marine Corps. Dustin, I forgot to ask you your rank.
Oh, I'm a Staff Sergeant. Staff Sergeant of the United States Marines.
Oh, Staff Sergeant, okay. All right. Now, we've been talking about some very interesting things. I love, and I haven't been there in years, to go to the Burke Lakefront thing every year at the military, all the planes and everything. There was one guy, you probably wouldn't remember, his name was Bob Hoover, and he would take off with an overhead wing and a rather large plane, and actually he was able to do a loop with it, which no one else could ever do. I don't know what his secret was. He just had guts.
That probably is. Pushing things to the max is usually how we discover something new that we never thought
well,
we could.
Well, sure, yeah. But okay, so the Harrier. Now, the Harrier, that's quite an older craft, isn't it?
It is. I don't know the exact lifespan that the U.S. military's had it, but it is a very old platform, and through time, we're already looking at a couple of different other things to phase it out. The F-35 is one of the new aircraft that's out there that the military has. So.
Okay. So, and normally a regular citizen doesn't see something, unless they fly over and they don't know what it is, some of the strange shapes of these new aircraft, the kind that radar cannot be bounced off of.
Yes, sir.
Now, that's a pretty neat trick to avoid being detected by radar, but that's so necessary.
Yes, extremely important. All the angles, and I couldn't even tell you the amount of engineering that probably had to go into it, all the way down to when their landing gear comes up, those doors have to close at a certain spot.
Oh, really?
Yes, it has to be pretty much a seamless aircraft.
Yes. Oh.
So every small detail could set something off. So just the framework and the structure at which they developed those aircraft that cannot be detected is pretty remarkable.
I can imagine. And like all aircraft, the maintenance is a necessity, and there's a lot of maintenance to do on any aircraft to keep it top-notch flying.
Yes, sir. That is absolutely true. So the amount of maintenance, that's one of the cool things. It's a joke with the enlisted people. So in order to fly an aircraft, manned aviation, you have to do a 4-year degree. So one of my biggest recommendations if kids want to do that is, hey, do your time enlisted, get your college for free, and then take that route. But it takes a kid with a high school diploma to fix the aircraft and a college degree to fly it.
That's right. Yeah. So going over that qualification again, What must you do to become a fighter pilot or whatever, combat pilot?
So there's different contracts. You'll have an air contract and a ground contract for the officer side of things. You don't have a whole lot of pool, things that can help you in those things to make sure that you are qualified and you know what you're doing and you can get a better opportunity to get in one or the other, would be go enlisted route. So if you go into an air crew job for the Marine Corps and then you're like, hey, just like Staff Sergeant Kobe that I have in my office, she's an air crew for the Osprey. If she wanted to, at 4 years after she got her degree, she could put in a package to become a Marine Corps officer. And then, with her background of being air crew, that means that that's less training that the Marine Corps would have to really devote to having her fully understand. So that would give her a better way and opportunity to be medically qualified and have a mental qualification of understanding what she needs.
Mm, yeah. Well, I was lucky being in, I've been in the broadcast industry for forever, and I've taken some Goodwill flights with the military, with the Air National Guard, and on C-130s, and that's a thrill that I think about it every day. I mean, and to see the operation, the loadmasters, the guys that know exactly where cargo must be placed, and then I stood beside them as they opened the doors, and out it went. And there's so much of interest for young guys and older guys, really.
Yeah.
But so now, where is your recruiting base?
So we have recruiting stations all over. I'm in charge of the Mansfield Recruiting Office on West 4th Street, the one that's right here in Marion, downtown 131 Prospect. And then another one that's up in Worcester on Burbank.
Oh, okay.
Right there by the Walmart in that strip mall there.
Very good, yeah. Let me see. I wanted to, yeah. Like I say, my grandson's in the Marines, and now I think he, well, they probably can't say too much, but he's in Seattle and guarding nuclear installations or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he had a choice too of maybe becoming a guard at an embassy or maybe in Washington D.C.
Yes, sir.
So opportunity is there.
Yes, sir. Yeah. That would be under one of our Marine Security Guard Security Forces jobs.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. So pretty much that contract allows to correlate to something best. It would be maybe like 13 hours. The security force that's in between the embassies.
Yes.
So the Marines are the only ones that guard embassies.
That's right. Now, that could be quite a job. I mean, it can be a little dangerous at times.
Yes, sir. Depending
on the country.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The amount of opportunity for you to, you know, travel and see different cultures is very...
Well, you have to be there, yeah.
Very much so something for you. But, you know, when you start talking hazards and those types of things, that's something that we accept. And somebody's got to do that.
Well, yeah, you're a Marine and, yeah. Yeah.
So they get a lot of special training goes into that, and as you've heard from your grandson, a lot of really cool opportunities that a lot of people see in the movies, and they
yes.
think, oh, I wish I could do that.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, for a lifetime, he's got those fun stories with training that he's undergone and made him better for it. So
now when you're in service, you must follow the rules, but do many ever screw up and get... And how do you get rid of somebody that's...
So it's crazy. A lot of people don't know about how a base is structured. The base that we have is pretty much its own small individual community. They have military police that'll give you a speeding ticket. You have grocery stores. You have everything there. So if somebody does get in trouble, as long as it's not something that's like a federal offense,
yeah, right.
It's handled pretty much in-house. In-house. We have a little... courtroom.
Your system, yes.
Yep. If you get pulled over, you get so many points. If you get so many points, you lose your license on privileges on base. And, you know, if somebody does something really bad, then we have the Uniform Code of Military Justice.
Wow.
So they will get, they have a whole court system and all the way up to a courts martial where I actually sat in on jury duty for one of those down in Camp Lejeune, Parris Island, South Carolina.
Wow. Yep. Parris Island, Camp Lejeune, is that Are those the only two areas where training takes place?
So Parris Island is where boot camp is for the East Coast. So everybody east of the Mississippi will go to Parris Island.
Oh, really?
Everybody west of the Mississippi will go to San Diego for boot camp. After that, then you go into Marine combat training. And that, for the East Coast guys, would be Camp Geiger, North Carolina, which is right on Camp Lejeune. Yeah.
It's interesting. I kept track. Kind of when my grandson was undergoing training, there's all these mothers that are so concerned about their boy.
Yes, sir.
and I just wonder, they seem to have formed a group. And I saw on Facebook the other day this lady counting the hours until the...
Crucible?
Yeah.
Yes. So that's another part of recruiting, and a lot of people don't think of it this way, but I enjoy parents wanting to be part of it. And, you know, everybody's going to worry about their son or daughter being
at
something.
Oh, yes.
Especially some that they don't have all the answers on. So it's not totally advertised what the Marine Corps does at boot camp, so just the fear of the unknown starts to get to the families.
Yeah.
But they do have social media platforms to get them through it, and the recruiters prepare the families pretty well.
It's amazing, how they all are together in the cause. Well, and I actually saw, and I don't think it's allowed, the pictures taken during that basic training. Somebody snuck a camera in somewhere and put it on the internet.
Well, we are. We have an actual job in the Marine Corps. It's called combat camera, and that job consists pretty much of public affairs for the Marine Corps. And they do take videos. They will take pictures of training. They're not constantly under the video of you know, somebody carrying a camera around. But there's times just for the families that they'll do that. They'll take those photos and they'll post them up, so that way their kids can play pretty much Where's Waldo.
Wow.
And try to identify.
Yes. Right. That's interesting. But going back to the Osprey, you know, we had something scheduled to come into Marion, and somehow maybe another year.
Yes, sir. It's already something that I'm already trying to coordinate with Terry. Is next year getting the dates, and I want to get this request in for next year to see what other capabilities we can bring for the Marion community.
Yeah.
So
I would like to see a lot of military on display. I mean, you know, that's a big part of everything, and domestic flying is down, you know, so limited because of the expense.
Yes, sir.
And yet we pay our taxes for the military, and it'd be interesting for all these people to be impressed by what the military has.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I'm looking, I talked with Terry a little bit today. We'll pretty much try to get a good date range for when next year will happen, and get that chain going, and then see what other things, like maybe we can get a drone up here or something.
So there's all kinds of, you know, we'll have a brand new administration or building. The building at the airport now is old, 1950.
Okay.
And there will be a brand new one that will hopefully by next year, or at least a year after, be all completed, a brand new one. Because we have so many flights coming into Marion every day, almost, from, you know, executive jets. And not so much military. Mm-hmm. Of course, military wouldn't actually have maybe any reason to come to Marion. But I don't know if recruiter, you guys ever get... much flight time?
No, sir. Out here on recruiting duty, it's pretty full. So, you know, throughout the day, we're flexible with everybody's schedules. So we understand that school, sports, work. So when everybody else gets off work at 8 or 9, we're usually there at work.
Uh-huh.
So that way we can coordinate. And, you know, like I said, biggest thing, be an influence and be an educator for what this is and what it has to offer.
Yeah, boy. And I noticed... I live within a mile of one of our schools. Every day it's in use with sports of one kind or another. It's just amazing how years ago, when school left out, that was it.
Yep.
But every day, my land, sports. Now, do playing sports contribute any good to eventually become, you know, recruiting in the military? I mean, becoming, does sports help develop one in the military?
So I've seen it two different ways, sir. I've seen, just an athlete that's been really good, and it's paid off that they've worked really hard to do their sport, and that mentality of and that drive that they've had got them through boot camp. I've had other people who, you know, they might have been just the best athlete, and they got used to that, and then at boot camp...
it's a different story.
Yeah, you have your eyes open a little bit where... Yeah. And, you know, those are the different types of things. And as recruiters, we do what we do to mentally and physically prepare somebody for that. So.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Now, we're going to break here for about a minute. Be right back with Dustin Smith. And your rank again is?
Staff Sergeant.
Staff Sergeant. Okay. And how many years you've been in?
Coming up on 12.
Scott, WWGH Radio is my favorite place for news.
Well, Ted, I take that as high praise.
Well, it's true, without a doubt. Where else can you find a mayor, governor, treasurer, and the Golden Voice all on the same show? Variety is the spice of life.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again with Dustin Smith, and finding out a little about Marines. And I tell you, and you get to see it firsthand when you know somebody had joined the Marines, and you understand when they say, once a Marine, always a Marine.
Yes, sir.
And that's kind of a reputation, too, to hold up. You don't want to goof up through the rest of your life, even after you're out of the Marines, because you always got that you're a Marine.
Absolutely, sir. That legacy is forever.
Yeah, isn't that great? Is that instilled during basic training?
Yes. So 13 weeks has always been our thing, just going through, boot camp, what it has to offer. Pretty much that transformation at that crucible, that culminating event.
The crucible, yeah.
That's the big thing. Once you've earned that Eagle, Globe, and Anchor, that's our depiction of what, you know, our symbol is as Marines.
Yeah.
That's just a brotherhood forever. Wherever you go, you know, my wife and I, when we travel, we have a Marine buddy somewhere that'll...
Sure,
every
yes.
time, so it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And I saw on Facebook the other day, this lady was talking about the crucible was... about to begin or was ending, and she had lit candles, and there's all kinds of things that go through knowing
yes,
the crucible is the make or break.
It's a pretty stressful thing for an individual going through because they put so much hard work and effort into the last 8-9 weeks.
Yeah.
And then now they're faced with this culminating event that they really don't know what is going to happen. So the families, I think they call it a recruit shrine.
Oh, okay.
So they do a table with their picture and the platoon number, and they'll do the candle, and it's something newer. It wasn't around when I got in.
Yeah.
So
times are changing all the
they are a little yeah. bit. So there wasn't Facebook like it is today.
Oh,
so.
Boy, yeah. How that has changed. Oh, my goodness. And I can remember when radio had tubes. My first job, I was an engineer for years before I went on the air. I had to test hundreds of tubes and keep track of the readings. And some were rather hot.
Yeah.
And then when people had home radios, they'd take it to a repair shop, and it was always the power tube. Well, the power tube probably was a rectifier. It's interesting. But... some people got ripped off getting repairs from heavy tubes that really weren't bad. Oh, what an era that was. And then the transistor radios came out.
Mm-hmm.
And that started a whole new era.
Made things a lot easier and a lot different.
Yes. And the next best probably is the opening up of the Internet. not all forms, like Facebook, you know, there's a lot of false things and a lot of complaints on Facebook. I like going into Google when I have a question about anything, anything on earth, and it's really amazing what you can find in Google.
Yes, Google's special. You know, if it sees, it'll pick up on trends. So if you've Googled a lot of Republican things, it might pull up a lot more of a Republican type of answer that you're looking for. I found that out the other day.
Yeah.
So it kind of just tracks and monitors your history. So that's why, like, I love and hate Google. People will be like, oh, well, I'll just Google my information about the military. You know, and if you Google a lot of different things that are anti-military, you're probably not going to find the good information that you're really looking for.
Yeah.
So.
I can imagine, yeah. But, Google, I often wonder, maybe everybody wonders, where does all this information come from? Who puts it on and makes it available? My.
I tell you, I don't know. There's quite a bit out there, and the Google staff, just from, you know, what I've seen and read about, is massive. They have so much help everywhere. So
yeah. Now, in the military, are you in the military allowed to carry smartphones?
Absolutely, sir. You pretty much live your regular life. You know, a work day could consist of, on average, 7:30 in the morning until 11. You get a 2-hour lunch break, which you can't really find that anywhere else.
Yeah, well, 2 hours.
2 hours from 11 until 1.
Wow.
So what I did was I did my college. Through that time, I do my homework and that kind of stuff, and then I would go back to work from 1 until about 4, working about a 7-8 hour day.
Wow. Great.
Monday through Friday, and then there's occasional weekends or field operations where I call it play war.
Oh.
You just take all your gear out and you set it all up, make sure everything works, then it's compatible with what you need it to do.
Okay. So if when the time comes, you're ready in an instant.
Absolutely. Marines are always ready.
Yeah, that's great. And now the Marines, they say, trying to prepare the way for the Army in a combat, or is that just what they like to?
Like I said, we all have our roles.
Yeah.
So the Marines are known for the battles that we've won, and the expeditious manner at which we do it. So we are the first to fight. So
was it the Marines at Iwo Jima?
Yes, we had, you know, everybody was there. There was Navy that was there. There was everybody that was there. But, yes, the Marines of Iwo Jima, yes.
Yeah, that's something. But now, okay, so where have you been in your time in service? Well, how many foreign countries have you been in?
Foreign countries. I missed Iraq, unfortunately, by about 20 days when I got in.
Uh-huh.
I was trying to get graduated and checked in early enough. I was about just a little bit too late, so... Foreign countries at this point, I've just been to Afghanistan, I've been to Russia, and I've been to Ireland.
Afghanistan seems like an impossible area to ever come out ahead. I mean, because of the terrain, for one thing, and all the ISIS and whatever prevails.
Yeah, it's a different area.
Yeah. Now, are there a lot of Marines involved in the combat in Afghanistan, or is this Army?
So pretty much what our biggest piece is, you know, going in, taking over something that needs to be occupied, and then we'll hand it over to somebody who is an enduring force like the Army.
Mm-hmm.
So the Marines are not meant to go in and set up a huge base, have a big footprint, and constantly just sit there. The Army's more geared for being an enduring force. They're larger. They have more equipment as far as... Not more opportunities for jobs, but more tanks or more this.
Now, so. A Marine, just the name Marine has to do with ships.
Sure.
So what role do the Marines have with on the water?
Perfect. So, you know, just going back way when we first were founded, Tun Tavern, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You know, there was a lot of issues with ships. We had a really good Navy. But when it came to hand-to-hand stuff, we ran into issues. When we would come to ports, you know, somebody would have to protect the ships while people were going off,
right.
refeeding, stocking, whatever. So the Marines were there pretty much as, you know, we always pick with the Navy, tell them we're their big bodyguards. But that was really one of the big things that we had was the hand-to-hand and then the amphibious side of things as it evolved going from ship to shore. So we do a lot of MUEs. It's called a Marine Expeditionary Unit. where we'll tie with the Navy and we'll float around in the Pacific and the Atlantic. And it's a QRF, a quick reaction force for anybody in the world. So it can involve with humanitarian aid. We do a lot of flyovers and help with recovery and rebuilding and providing food and water if there's any tsunamis, hurricanes, earthquakes, those types of things. On the flip side, you know, when Syria using chemical attacks on civilians.
Oh, yes.
We're there quick to just de-escalate a situation and get it to a point where the people there can, you know, take charge again and do whatever they have to do.
Interesting. That takes a lot of training and a lot of stamina, a lot of courage. Wow. Boy. But Afghanistan always puzzles me. What I don't know what we'll gain, or when would we be declared ahead of the game in Afghanistan? It's been going on for so many years. French and Russians and...
I would go ahead and say that that's probably something that I can't talk too much
about. Well, I can imagine, yes. That's right. Yeah, you can't get in the political end of this.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's for sure. But yet the Marines will always be available and ready to go.
Yes, sir.
Say the least. Yeah. And so you didn't get to Iraq. You got in just too late to get to Iraq.
Yes, sir. I did. It was about just before you go on a deployment, there's so much training that they want to do to make sure that you are prepped and ready for everything that you'll face.
Yeah.
And I just missed being able to squeeze all that training in last minute. So I did actually, like I said, I got my Afghanistan and...
Hey, Terry Klein's on.
Oh, perfect.
Let's see what Terry's got to say here.
Charlie's got about
Terry,
5 minutes left.
Terry, go ahead.
I just want to call and let Charlie know. You know, it's going to be iffy for Harold Brown. We'll see how he feels after he gets back to his hotel room and all of that. So it's kind of iffy. He may or may not.
Okay, well, if he's here at 1:15 or on the phone, why? And if he's not, we'll go home.
Okay. I told his wife to give me a call if he felt like calling
yeah.
in.
Okay.
So as soon as I hear that, one way or the other, I'll let you know. And it will be a call in if he's able to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. You want to say?
Very good.
You want to say anything to Dustin? Oh, he hung up. Terry is. He's been working on this for a whole year. and the big thing, we're hoping it doesn't rain.
Yeah.
Rain would be a horrible thing.
That's the truth. But, planning these things so far in advance, you know.
Oh, yes.
You could have a foolproof plan and then...
Right. Have all these things scheduled. Oh, my. And so, but we can look forward, I think, next year, maybe more military presence.
Yes, sir.
Of course, you guys... The Marines and the other recruiters, I think the Army recruiters are here too.
Yes.
You guys have to battle it out.
I'm all about it. It allows everybody to ask questions about
yeah.
you know what they would get into in either yeah. branch. So,
so you listeners with young people, don't forget you can come out and if there's any question at all about the young your young people, your sons or daughters, about the military. And send them out to the airport tomorrow because we've got the people that can tell them, show them the way. Okay. We've got about 2 minutes left in the program today with a Staff Sergeant. Or
Staff Sergeant Smith, yes,
yeah.
sir.
Dustin Smith. Dustin, where are you from originally?
Pennsylvania, actually.
Oh, what town?
I am from a county.
So. Oh, okay.
it's so far out in the sticks. I had a two-hour bus ride in the morning. But Trout Run, PA, is about the closest thing that where I was from.
I've been vacationing in Pennsylvania for 40-some years.
Oh, yeah?
In Berks County and all around that area.
Okay.
Redding.
Yeah, Redding. Okay, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like north central. I guess the biggest town that you can look at is Williamsport.
Okay. That's where that Little League...
World Series, yes.
Yeah, World Series.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, I like the Philadelphia area, and it kind of grows on you, you know. I love going back to Pennsylvania.
I love that area.
Yeah.
It's always good to come home and see that sign over top of your car when you're driving through.
Yes,
so.
Exactly. Yeah, we lately we've been going to Morgantown, spending time there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let me see. Oh, we're about out of time. So, Staff Sergeant Dustin Smith will be at the airport tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
And you'll be able, or your son or daughter will be able to ask any questions about careers in the military and the Marines. And he'll be glad to supply any information.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, Dustin, I'm sure glad you were able to come in today. And your uniform is so impressive. Now, you've got a wings on there. Did you get that by flying?
Yes, sir. That's from my drone.
Your drone experience. Yes. Okay.
So, right. Yep, that's what those are
for. So you got a wings. Oh, boy. And marksmanship, too.
There you go. Rifle, pistol, and then competitive shooting as well.
Wow, okay.
You're
Thanks.
Listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. The legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.
Yeah. Is it how much of Mrs. Garrett is in Charlotte Ray?
I'm not, you know, they made Mrs. Garrett perfect, which was ridiculous, as I wrote in the book. I mean, they never let me yell at the kids or anything, which most parents, you know, all the kids wanted a mother like Mrs. Garrett. Well, she wasn't real. Because most mothers lose their temper sometime and they get mad. And so on and so forth. Anyway.
To the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, legendary actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating or our world would be better?
I guess,
but there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors.
That?
Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Doesn't it just? I never thought of that, but you're quite right.
To the star of Soap and Benson, Robert Guillaume.
When you first got that pilot script and you looked at Benson, now he was a housekeeper, but mm-hmm. Who was he to you?
Well, he was my grandmother, for one thing. My grandmother had worked in white people's houses, and she had always seemed disrespectful. She would come in and she would do the laundry. And after she had put the laundry and arranged it the way she wanted, the woman who owned the house, when she worked, would come along and rearrange